Well, today, Terry and I record our final interview after 10 years of weekly discussions. You know, I know from personal experience that every time I meet people in the community, they all tell me how much they love her. Of course, they love her. I love her too. So I thought it'd be a great idea to take this final opportunity to find out a little bit more about Terry's life, and then in turn, have Terry ask me some questions so you can learn a little bit more about my life as well. Hey, Terry, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Steve. This will be fun.
I've heard that phrase before. I don't know where. Okay, so I was trying to remember how we met initially. I know I was doing a mortgage segment for a really long time with Alan Robinson, the mortgage broker. Did we meet through him or was it from some other way?
Yeah, that's right. What a memory. Yes, Alan Robinson mentioned my name. And then what was so funny about it, I reached out to you or you reached out to me, and we come to find out that you invited me for an interview for the position for this role. And sure enough, I was on the first floor and you were on the third floor of the same building.
I know.
So I'm like, you're like, when are you available? I'm like, well, where's your office? And I can be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Can you come up? I remember that.
Right. That's exactly. Right. So yeah. It was awesome. It was great.
Okay.
It was meant to be.
That is funny. That is funny. Yeah. I totally forgot about that. You were with Coldwell Banker at the time.
That's right.
Yeah. So when we began your real estate segment, you had been an agent for 21 years. So tell us how you ended up in the business and what did you do beforehand?
Sure. So prior to that, I was in the travel industry. I was a sales rep for Norwegian Cruise Lines. Grateful not to be in the cruise line business right now.
Yes.
And I got married. We decided we're going to move up to the Boca Raton area. I came from Miami and I had been in a real estate family. My parents were both agents. My dad really was an expert in commercial and land, and he encouraged me to get into real estate. So I had gotten my license while I was in college, and when we moved up to Boca Raton, I didn't have a job, and my dad said, you know, try it. So I jumped in with both feet. I fell in love with it. I did really well, rookie of the year, first year, and 31 years later, I'm still here.
Wow. Yeah, so, you know, you started from scratch, or did you have some assistance from your parents at that time?
No. When I came up here, I didn't know a soul. And my father, he was in real estate. And he was also a captain for Delta Airlines. So he was working a niche. He was doing lots and warehouse sales. So they just felt that I would be a natural for it and encouraged me to give it a try. You know, at the time I had a second income from my husband. You know, and starting young really gives you an advantage if you have a way to be able to support yourself. Because when you start in a real estate career, you have to have money in the bank in order to spend the money to do the proper marketing of yourself and so on and so forth. So, you know, I don't know that I would have gotten into real estate had I not done it right from the beginning, because I know the challenges that are there today.
Well, in my business too, it takes at least 2 years to build up enough clientele to even make a living. So starting young is good because you don't really have a lot of financial requirements when you're young. So,
well, exactly. No kids. We were renting an apartment. We could live on one salary.
Right.
So
yeah. So was it easier to get into the real estate business back then than it is today?
You know, it's just different. Back then, what was easy, we almost had a different type of client base. You know, back then you had things what we called walk-ins, where, you know, the traditional real estate offices, clients would actually walk in or they called the office. And so we would take those calls and rotate them amongst the agents. Today it's a little bit different with the internet. Agents now, you know, work really more independent from the brokerage firms.
I see.
And so you really have to almost have your own book of business or real strong sphere of influence to start this business.
Yeah.
Where when I came in, I didn't know a soul in Boca Raton. I just answered the phones. We called it floor time.
Yeah. You know, the brokerage industry had that too. Matter of fact, back in the early 80s when I started, Merrill Lynch had come up with the CMA account, which was a money market. It was the first time that people could have savings outside of a bank, and the interest was way higher. And so they were around the block, so I heard. Of course, I got in too late, unfortunately. Didn't experience people lining up around the block to open up accounts, but it was the same thing. You were a floor broker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of similarities.
So tell us a little bit about your family, you know, your kids. I understand your daughter is in the business now.
Yep, my daughter's in the business. She swore up and down she would never get into real estate because I worked too hard, worked too many hours, and she said, never for me. And here she is. She's doing extremely well.
Yeah.
She's, you know, works side by side, and she's got her, built her own database of clients and just flourishing.
Yeah.
My other daughter's a nurse. They're both in their early 20s, actually approaching mid-20s, and they were raised here in Boca Raton. And, you know, we've been here 31 years. My husband as well, he's a Florida boy raised in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm originally from Miami.
So what do you guys like to do for fun? What are your favorite pastimes?
Boating, fishing, diving, sailing, skiing, anything outdoors, hiking. Weekend passion would be to take the boat out.
Cool. That's interesting. You know, we don't really get a chance to talk about our personal lives on air. And, you know, they think this is a good chance for people to really know a little bit about who you are. Now, we talked earlier before about you working for Coldwell Banker, and then you moved to Keller Williams.
Right.
And I'm always curious, you know, a lot of real estate agencies are very small, like one or two person operations, and some of them are really big.
Right.
What are the differences between working with, let's say, Coldwell Banker, which is an international firm?
Right.
My guess is that Keller Williams is more of a domestic firm and bigger, and yet you said you really run your own business. What's the difference?
So the main difference is Coldwell Banker is an international company, so is Keller Williams. Actually, Keller Williams, the largest real estate company in the world. But the main difference is it's almost like an employee-employer relationship when you're with a company like Coldwell Banker. When you're with Keller Williams, it's more of a partnership. And the difference being Keller Williams is run and owned by realtors, where Coldwell Banker is more of a true traditional corporate business. So we have a lot more flexibility. We have profit share, which is a huge difference. You know, we get to participate in the profits. 50% of our office profits is shared amongst the agents.
I see.
So it's just a different environment. Both great companies, just different philosophies and models that they follow. And, you know, I was with Coldwell Banker for 29 years. I've been with Keller Williams 3 years and grateful for the change that I made and the way that my business has really been growing.
Very cool. So listen, it's time to turn the tables. It's time to ask Steve.
Yeah.
So why don't you start? You're going to be the interviewer and I'm going to be on the hot seat now. Go.
Yeah, so I've noticed all the times that I've been spending with you, we never talk about your personal life. So why is that, Steve?
Because I have no personal life. No, I'm only kidding. Well, you know,
I know you do.
The show has really never been about me. You know, it's always been about the listener. It was never, ever, ever a vanity project or a vehicle to air my personal laundry. You know, we have enough of that around us today already. Everybody's got an opinion. I just really wanted to kind of help people and stick with the facts and, you know, get a chance to meet more people, really.
I love it. So tell us a little bit about your family, number of kids, all that good stuff.
Well, I have two kids. I think I mentioned it before in one of my commentaries, but I have a son who's approaching 40 and a daughter who's a little over 30. And they're both in the arts. My son is a filmmaker, lives in LA. My daughter is a songwriter and singer who lives in Chicago. So, you know, I'll be helping them for a really long time. But, you know, I was married for 30 years. And then 10 years ago, I got out of that relationship. And luckily, I've found the love of my life. And, you know, she's the one that, you know, will go off into the sunset together forever.
Aww.
So, yeah, that's where I'm.
A true romantic. And she's a wonderful woman, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'll tell her. Well, actually, she edits the show, so she will hear this.
So she'll hear it.
And she reminds me all the time that she's out of a job now. So if anybody is hiring out there, you know, you should call.
How about some of your favorite pastimes, Steve?
Well, you know, music is number one for me. It gives me joy. It gives me a creative outlet. It's also the kind of art that you never stop learning about. You know, there's so many genres. There's so many wonderful songwriters and composers and players, and they all inspire me. So I can fulfill my entire life with these new and exciting things concentrating in music. You know, the other thing about my nature is I love to learn about the world. I travel a lot, and
yes,
I love to read, and I'm lucky enough that I get a lot of pleasure in the pursuit of knowledge, and I've always been like that. And my tastes are very eclectic. You know, I think it shows up in the show. You know, one show will have someone talking about how the Erie Canal was built or how the transatlantic cable. And this is just stuff that interests the heck out of me. And then next I'll have, you know, with John Bogle, and we're talking about index funds, or we're talking about someone who's looking at the future and trying to figure out what's going to go on. So lots of different topics, all kind of generated by me and the ability to get the access to these great guests, you know. So, and then also my band, the Steve Pomerantz Band, right, is very eclectic. We play jazz and country and pop and classic rock and so much more. So it's a great joy to do that.
And I've had an opportunity to listen and see your band, and they are very good. So
thank you.
Look out for his band, guys. So I have a question.
Yeah.
You're obviously a musician. How did you get started in the investment business? You know, those two careers are like oil and water.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're really not. I'll explain that in a second. But yes, when in my 20s, I was a musician. I was mostly self-taught, as I am with so many things. You know, I did go to school and study music for a while, but I got married when I was 26 and I had my son Ryan 2 years later. And I looked at the music industry and I didn't really like what I saw. I didn't see a path for me towards earning a good enough living to support my growing family.
Sure.
Didn't know what to do. Wasn't really trained for anything, but I managed to get an interview at a small company that sold municipal bonds, which were very big back then. And I didn't know what they were. My friends thought I was in the bail bond business. That's what they would say. Yeah. Like, no, that's a different business. You know, just a little different. But anyway, it turned out I had a knack for it. And I realized later that music and investing have a lot of similarities in the sense that when you're dealing in music,
right,
you're used to abstract thinking. You're not really thinking about physical things so much. It's all in your mind. And when you think about investing, it's an abstract concept as well. There's nothing really physical to it, but it's ideas and how to synthesize ideas. And music is very much the same. So I was very lucky. I took to it very, very easily.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Steve, you achieved your CFP designation, which is Certified Financial Planning, back in 1988. Let me ask you, were there other brokers getting that certification back then?
Yeah, no. Back in 88, the stock brokerage business was all about selling. It really wasn't about financial planning. But I really didn't like that culture. So I really wanted to kind of really help people with their lives and not just sell them stuff to make commissions and the like. So I got my CFP designation really pretty early.
Wow.
And I didn't actually get an opportunity to use it until I got out of the brokerage business and started my own company in 1996. And, you know, talking about that, you know, there were some pivotal part of my career, you know. First of all, going from music to investments, that was a very important change for me.
Sure.
I joined Chase Manhattan in 1991, and they turned out to be a very good organization. And their goal was to focus on the client with the idea that the revenues would come next. Unfortunately or fortunately, Chase Manhattan merged with Chemical in 1996, and everybody went back to the brokerage industry, but I was done with that. So I started my own fee-only advisory company. And that turned out to be a great moment in my life. And then, of course, the radio show in 2001 was a wonderful start. I had no idea, you know, how that was going to go, but it went really well. So, you know, all of these things came together, the CFP and these events that happened in my life to get me where I was today.
Well, you're a true trailblazer. So now I got to add a sensitive question. Why are you deciding or did decide to retire from this business and end the radio show?
Well, you know, there are more things in heaven and earth, Terry, than running a business. So I had enough capital and a bright future and good health to look ahead to. So I retired last year on June 30th of 2019. The show went on for another year, but it was time to hang that up too.
Yep. Yeah. Well, all good things have to come to an end, right?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, 19 years is plenty.
Yeah.
Especially in the radio business. You know, there's a lot of radio stations that went out of business and then someone else picked us up and then we went commercial and NPR for a while. That didn't really work. And, you know, just trial and error, you know, that's life.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So I know nobody can tell us how the world is going to turn out, but in your small little world, what do you think the future holds?
Well, you know, it's a great question. You know, first of all, it's great to get older. You know, you're wiser. You can create a new world for the rest of your time on this earth. The bad thing about getting older is you're older.
You're getting older.
You know, there's not as much time. You know, your days are more numbered, so to speak, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, looking at the bigger picture, I worry a lot about America these days. I think many of us forget that we're all Americans, not just separate factions. I know politics has always been messy, and that's the American way. You know, it's always seemed to work out, but it just seems to have turned so mean.
Yeah.
And I really fret for our country. So we are out of time. So I want to say, I've been talking to Terry Story, a 31-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Terry, thanks for all these years, and thanks for being here.
Steve, thanks for having me. It's been wonderful. Thanks for having me, Steve, and may God bless us all.
May God bless us all. Right. One more time, I want to hear that catchphrase that you created. Go.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Perfect. Thanks, Terry.